visual is very helpful for me to see what I'm talking about. And I've been speaking on the Tabernacle of Moses for some time. And I'm going to continue doing that. I'm almost done. I've left quite a bit out, but I'm almost done. Let me just say something. We've gone through, if you remember, the gate was wide. Then we have the outer court, holy place and the most holy place. And it continues to get more and more narrow as you go in. And there's different ways to teach this. You can teach it prophetically as pictures of Christ and what he wants from the church. Let me just say one thing before I get into it is this. The tabernacle shows us, you know, I like this thought that the God who never changes is constantly changing me. Okay? The God who never changes is constantly changing me. And he's constantly bringing me into new realms and dimensions and understandings of him. And as we walk in our walk with God, it's more than just, hey, I've got this and now I'm ready to rock and roll. There's always more and more and more as we make our ascent towards the Lord. And the tabernacle teaches us, I'm going to show you something briefly later on to kind of go along with that, to kind of dovetail with it. Thank you, Kevin, for making those. I appreciate that. But I'm going to talk this morning about the golden altar of incense. And I love the subject, golden altar of incense. I'm going to look at several passages of Scripture. Just due to time's sake, you don't have to take time to turn there with me, but I'm going to tell you where I am. You can write it down. You can turn there if you want. Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 through 10. It talks about the golden altar of incense. And I want to talk a little bit about incense. And speaks of prayers, intercessions, and worship of the saints. And I want to mention, too, briefly, because I have not done this much, but talk about where it is in relation to the tabernacle and our pursuit of God. But I am going to read verse 7, the golden altar of incense of Exodus 30. It says, Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. When Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Incense throughout the Scriptures speaks of prayers and intercessions. In Psalms chapter 141, verse 2, the psalmist says, Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. If you remember, there's two altars. There's a golden, the brazen altar in the outer court, which was the fire, and we spoke about that. When you get to the golden altar of incense, it's continual incense, continual prayer, praise, and worship before the throne, before God. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah worshipped the Lord and sacrificed to the Lord, it said the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Incense, if you study the incense they use, they combine a whole bunch of different fragrances. And my sister-in-law is really big into essential oils. If you get a whiff of some of those, it'll about knock you out. But it's a bunch of, imagine the essential oils and the different fragrances comes before the Lord, says it's a sweet, soothing aroma before the Lord. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 through 4, it says, Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before the God to the angels in the angels' hands. And so incense speaks of the prayers of the saints, the worship of the saints, the intercession of the saints. In Psalms 55:7, I love this verse. It says, Evening and morning and at noon shall I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let me just give you something brief that's kind of cool. I haven't really gone into this much when I've talked about the tabernacle. I've left a lot of stuff out. But one thing, when I read the Scripture, the Lord usually speaks to me in a threefold pattern, in a threefold way. And if you look at the dimensions of the tabernacle, just something, you know, food for thought. In the outer court, the dimensions were 300 by 5, which is 1,500. So there's 1,500 years between Moses and Christ, the law age. Okay? And the holy place where the golden altar of incense was, the dimensions were 20 by 10 by 10, which is 2,000 years. And say there's been 2,000 years from Christ till now. speak of the church age and the most holy place. I'm not getting into this much, but it's the dimensions of it are 1,000. You speak of, you know, 1,000-year reign over you. Look at that in the kingdom age. But the golden altar of incense was right at the veil to the most holy place. And so if I look at it prophetically, I'm just briefly doing that. Right before you get to the most holy place, and the golden altar of incense was actually carried into the most holy place once a year, it speaks to me that at the end of the church age, there's an increase in the heightened awareness of the ministry of spirit-filled prayer, intercession, and worship. Okay? If you look even how worship even, I appreciate my wife so much, just honor her and Pete both, because they have pure hearts to sing to God. And if you even look at worship, I'm going to speak about this more later, it's changed some in the last 20, 25 years, and we've kind of gone from singing about God to singing to God, if you've noticed it. And I can sing songs about Him, or I can sing directly to Him. Prayer, if you, have you heard of like Harp and Bowl meetings, the 24/7 prayer and worship that certain ministries have? There's ministries in the earth. Bill knows one of them. I used to go there when he lived in Kansas City, where there's 24/7 worship, prayer, and intercession. They actually hire intercessors there. They hire worshipers on staff to continually worship and prayer and intercede before the throne of God. Now, I believe that the ministry of worship, of intercession, of prayer is vital for what the Lord wants to do in this hour and to this day. I'm going to speak some about that more as I go along, but it's a wonderful thing. Daniel, it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with the windows open towards Jerusalem," I love this, it says, "he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day. Evening, morning, and noon shall I pray," the psalmist said. He knelt down 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Lord. I love this, "as was his custom since his early days." I want to do a study of the life of Daniel sometime. Since his early days, I forget his age there, but he'd been doing this for many years as his custom. In the morning, "Lord, I come before you. I thank you for who you are. I worship you. Lord, this person's on my heart. I lift them before you." In the afternoon, at lunchtime, on his lunch break, and evening, he goes before the Lord. It's just a principle, and it's a pattern. And one thing I will say this, while it's just on my heart, I do get concerned in some aspects with the church today, because if you look at and you listen to some of our early Pentecostal pioneers, I would say a lot of them were probably a lot stronger in prayer than some of us were. And they would pray. They knew how to pray. They knew how to get along with the Lord. But my heart, evening, morning, and noon, a perpetual incense. And that, you know, you don't have to. You know, we have great prayer meetings here. Sharon said Sharon does a great job. We have great prayer meetings. But I don't just have to pray when I come to a prayer meeting. I can do it on the car ride to work. When I used to have my commute, that was my time with the Lord right there. That was a time I spent with the Lord. On the way there, on my lunch break, "Lord, I lift this to you. I lift this situation." In the night, I always start my day and I try to end my day in a lot of respects with the Lord. But just to have a continual, just like the golden altar of incense, a continual incense flowing up from the Lord, the prayers of the saints that reaches to Him. Amen. I'm going to look at a few things about Jesus as our great, Jesus is our intercessor before the Father. I'm going to look at a couple passages of Scripture, and I want to kind of get into a few things, and I'll be done. I'll try not to take too long. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen." We sang about that this morning and celebrated last week. "Who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So you think of Christ seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And in Hebrews, Hebrews are such wonderful things too about the tabernacle in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, it says in verse 25, it says, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for us." Now the idea of the Lord being the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, is something that I'll be honestly, just completely frank with you. I don't fully know all the details and comprehend all of that, but it's a wonderful thought that He's constantly before us, interceding before us. He stands in our place. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and He takes our place. But Jesus did a lot of intercession when He was on the earth. And one of the things I was reading one time, and someone made a comment, someone whose ministry I respect, but I disagreed wholeheartedly with what he said. He was saying, because Jesus is our intercessor, that means the church doesn't understand intercession and we don't have to intercede. we don't have to do these things. We have to receive what He already did. You know, the Lord asks, and I speak on this all the time, He asks us to partner with Him, right? And so He gives us as believers responsibility. And I can sit back and say, well, Lord, You've done it all. I'm just going to hang out. Everything's all cool. But the Lord, I'm going to show you some more in a minute. The Lord partners with us, and we can move the heart of God, and we can see circumstances and situations changed through prayer and intercession.
Amen.
Okay? You see it throughout the Scripture. You see it in life. Anyone who's walked with God for any length of time, the notion that He's doing it so it releases my responsibility is not of the Lord. I couldn't disagree more. Actually, if you read 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, says, I offer that prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, especially those who are in authority. Why would Paul tell Pastor Timothy intercessions should be made if we don't have to intercede? And so the Lord's done something, and we're to do it as well. And so, Jesus, there's several prayers He prayed for us. I'm not going to get into all that, but I want to look, and you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 2. I want to look at something in the Scripture regarding Jesus and intercession and how it relates to us, and that's Psalm chapter 2. Psalms 2. Chapter 2. And he's talking in verse 1 about why the nations rage, the people plot vain things. But here in verse 7, and this is a messianic thing you can look at in Luke as well. And it's almost as David seeing between the Father and the Son. He says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my Son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possessions. It says, I will declare a decree, the Lord has said to me. I want to look at something. I want to talk about just a couple things here. If you can picture it, as Jesus is our intercessor before the Father. And here he's talking, it says, the Lord speaks. Jesus said, I will declare a decree, the Lord has spoken to me. You are my Son. Who is His Son?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. So this is an exchange. And if you can look at different commentaries, will say the same thing. Between the Father and the Son. And Jesus said, I only see what I see my Father doing. And here he's doing what he hears his Father doing. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. Okay? Part of intercession, and a lot of you know this well, is hearing from the Lord and then speaking and releasing what he says into the earth. Okay? And so Jesus had this thing here, why the nations rage and the people plot vain things. And they're sandwiched in between this and verse 10. It says, I will hear and I will declare and I will speak. There's a principle of prayer. I'm going to balance it in two different ways. I'm going to balance this. But one principle is coming and listening and hearing. Okay? And then when I hear, I have the responsibility to release it into the earth. I'm going to have some verses on that in a minute. I was reading, there's a lady in North Carolina, we don't know her, but she has all these things on Walter Butler. I mentioned Butler a lot, and I was reading this morning, I was in here and reading on a great move of the Spirit they had there back in 1951. And he said one of the many things that marked that move of God they had, he said we could go in that chapel and just sit and wait and listen and listen. And it's a lost art we have today of coming in and saying, Lord, I come before you. I have no agenda other than to hear what's on your heart. I'm going to hear from you, and then I'm going to speak what you're saying into the earth. And a lot of times when we come in prayer, it's easy to come in with these different things. A lot of times when I'm praying, I don't really pray until I really hear. And sometimes when I hear, it's a deposit in here, and I have to just release it. And when you do it, there's kind of sometimes there can be an extra juice on that thing, because the Lord almost impregnates you with something. A lot of times that's intercession. And so if I'm praying at home, I'm hearing, and the Lord puts James on my heart. Hearing James. Now, he's not speaking to me just so I can just keep it to myself. But then I have responsibility. I will hear it, and I will declare, decree what my Father's saying. Whatever that might be that James puts on my heart. And Jesus also said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And sometimes this is easier felt than dealt, but sometimes you can almost, whether you're in a prayer meeting, whether you're at work, wherever you are in your situation, if you have a poise of your spirit, Lord, I'm listening, I'm hearing from you, sometimes the Holy Spirit will let you draw your attention to someone. We had a prayer meeting here several months ago, and someone here was visiting, and I was sitting over there, and that person came in the back, and I just couldn't, I just looked at him, and I just, the Lord's hand is on this person, the Lord's there, I couldn't get rid of it, So I prayed. I felt the Lord gave me something. So what I did, I'm just sharing with my teaching the scriptures through my experience, or my experience with the scriptures. I went and I shared with them what the Lord had deposited within my heart, and it brought tears to the man's eyes. Why is that? I took time to hear and to listen. I saw somewhere that the Lord had, and I went and released what the Lord put on me into that situation. Okay? That can be prayer, and that can be intercession, okay? I've shared some about intercession in the past. If the Lord will put, I was talking to you, Brad, I think it was, and the Lord will just put something, oh, why is this on my heart? And Romans 8 talks how he speaks in groanings when we don't know how to pray. The Spirit of God can intercede for us in Romans chapter 8. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit in our prayer life, amen? But it's a willingness to say, first and foremost, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to hear what you're saying, Lord. What are you doing in the earth? What are you speaking? I was this week, I was in here and the Lord convicted my heart. I was in here working at my other job, sitting right there. And I have, when we were moving, we're packing up all my books and all my different things. And I have, it's like 15 pages of, we call them apostolic prayers. And they're basically prayers you can read in the Bible, you know, where a Paul is praying, or someone. And I've gotten out of doing that. You know, it's important to pray the Word of God. Amen. Okay? And I was in here, and the Lord started dealing with me. I haven't been doing that. And so one of the verses I like is, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your whole family. And I was sitting right there, and the Lord put my three kids on my heart, so heavy. And I just got up, I took my little break that I'll take at my job. I don't have my supervisor there. And I started walking through here and said, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I'm saved. My family's, my son, Owen's going to be saved. Anna's going to be saved. Evan's going to be saved. They're going to be filled with the Spirit. They're going to walk in the things of God. And I just started speaking and declaring the Word of God over that situation. Sitting right there at work. Just a principle I'm using. Sitting right here. Lord drops this thing. Almost convicted me. Really convicted me, actually. Really convicted me. And so I just heard a thing, that verse came to me, and I just started releasing the thing into the earth, right? I started speaking what the Father put in my heart for my children. You can do that for your family too. Everyone here has someone who's a loved one, whether it's your immediate family, your extended family, who does not know Jesus, who is not walking in the fullness of what God's called them to, or maybe they know Jesus and they're weighed down by other things and they're not fully living the full expression of what God has. I love this in Psalms chapter 33, verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By what? By the word of the Lord speaking, the heavens were made. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And in Hebrews chapter 11, 3, and you guys know this passage. It's important that we hear and that we speak what the Father's saying. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, by faith, Kevin probably knows this verse like the back of his hand. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? The Word of God. And so Jesus came. He was the Word of God, and He released into the earth His prayers and His intercessions. He's before the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, but it's important that we join and we partner in that. Off of my notes, there's three different ways. Let me tell you how I view Scripture, how I view the Lord's dealings with man. Some people look at this and say the Lord is sovereign, and He is a sovereign God. Okay? But if we take that to the extreme, it means that He just controls everything. I have no say. And then we get things, well, if these bad things happen, it's just there's some reason for it. Some people say it's all just free will and get fatalistic with it. I believe the Word of God and how He deals with us is on a relational basis.
Amen.
Okay? And so is He sovereign? Yes. Does He give us free will? Yes. But His heart from the very beginning has been to be relational with us. How He deals with us in prayer, how He deals with us in intercession, in worship, He's relational. We can move the heart of God in circumstances and situations in our life.
Amen.
You can move the heart of God. In Exodus chapter 32, and this is Moses, this is a great exchange. Change your mind about this terrible disaster which you've threatened against your people. In His unfailing mercy, the Lord changed His mind about the terrible disaster He had threatened to bring on His people. Exodus 32. And if you remember in Jonah, the story in Jonah, it says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to all their evil ways, it says He changed His mind and did not carry out the destruction He had threatened. I have other verses. I'm not going to take time to flip through and read. Where you can read where different kings would humble themselves. I think Ahab was one of them. He would humble himself before the Lord, and the Lord said He would relent and change His mind on the destruction He was going to put. Why is that? You say, oh, Lord, You're our intercessor. We don't have to do anything. But the Lord deals with us on a relational basis, and He says, you know, this thing is going on in the earth. Put you here on the earth. I don't like what's going on over there. So I'm going to speak, James, I want you to partner with me. Intercede, release into the earth what I'm saying about the situation that's going on right here. And you start praying and you release it and you see things changed. You cannot read the Bible and say the Lord doesn't do that. You say, well, the God who never changes constantly changing me, but He desires to partner and work with us. And if I read the Scriptures from a relational angle where the Lord is working and partnering with man, it gives me responsibility and helps me understand what He's doing. And I say, you know what? It gives me value. Because for whatever reason, there's situations in my life and the Lord says, Clay, I want you to intercede for that situation. Here's what's going on. I know in part, I see in part, I prophesy in part. Whatever I hear, maybe I have a part of it and I speak it here. James has a part of it, Anne has a part of it, and we release that thing and we see the Lord's fullness and His purpose come to pass because He's relational. Amen?
Amen.
That's truth. That's how I read the Scriptures, and it's a good way to read the Scriptures. Let me look at a few. Oh, and one more thing, too. I'm seeing about you with this, Brad, too. Daniel. I love the story in Daniel chapter 10 when he went on a Daniel fast, 21 days, and then he was praying, and the angel came and said, I was wrestling in the spirit realm for 21 days. You have no idea what your prayers and your intercessions and your fastings and your worship, what's going on in the realm of the spirit as you do that. I love that story. He's sitting down, he's doing his Daniel fast. He's abstaining from wines and meats or whatever. And all the time there's an intense battle going on in the spirit over something he's praying and over the people that he has. And then the Lord speaks the vision to Daniel. Okay? Oftentimes we can get discouraged in prayer. We can get discouraged in our intercessions. Sometimes, as you look in the life of Daniel, sometimes things happen instantaneously, and sometimes it can take years. But you're building an account. You're building a history with God. You're seeing what happened here, and I think one of the most beautiful things we can ever see is, you know, hey, we've been praying for years about that situation. And man, we sang it this morning. I haven't heard that one in a long time, Andrea. Look what the Lord has done. Wow. I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been interceding, I've been lifting this before the Lord for evening, morning, noon, and night before the Lord. And man, here it goes. Why? Because when we do this, things are going on in the realm of the Spirit that we might have no privy to in our natural eyes, but the Lord is doing the work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's see what else I have, and I'm almost going to be done. I'm going to wrap up with something. There's another aspect, too, of worship, and I've spoken about worship. In Revelation 5:10, talks about the golden incense, but then it starts to talk about how they shall sing a new song unto God and a new song unto the Lord. Sorry, my throat is... And let me back up one more second and say one more thing before I get into that. I was reading again recently, and I just want to dispel this because I don't agree with it. Someone said, you know, we have people who are spending hours and hours praying while people are going to hell. Let me just say this. And the idea was to get... There's always, like I said before, a balance between coming and going. Okay? When Jesus called the disciples, he first called them to come be with him. And then he sent them out. And to me, that's the proper pattern. You come and you're with him, and then you're sent out to go and to do. But every one of us in here, someone prayed for you. Someone prayed for me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Someone was praying for me. I don't know who it was. I've shared this story. I was talking to my mother about my grandfather. I've shared this here before. It's been a long time ago. I think I shared it with you, Peter, recently. There's a lady that his neighbor growing up didn't like her at all. She was a on-fire Christian. My grandfather was anything but that, to put it nicely. He's a good man, but anything but that. He didn't like this lady. And she had cancer for so many years, and she constantly prayed for him. When my grandfather got diagnosed with cancer, he didn't have long after that. Guess who led him to Jesus? The lady he couldn't stand, who'd been praying for years and years and years and years. He gave his heart to Jesus. And shortly after he passed, she passed. Someone prayed for you. You have no idea what your prayers are doing. Incense before the Lord, day and night, evening. You have no clue. I, as my grandson, am so grateful that that lady persevered all these years when the man didn't even like her, didn't want anything to do with her. He persevered, prayed and prayed and prayed. And when I went to see my grandfather before he passed away, he had cancer all over his body, years of really rough living. He couldn't talk, but I went in that room, and the whole atmosphere was different. The Lord was there in such a real way, and I am grateful. Someone prayed for him. I mentioned Reese Howells not long ago, a lot of the credit for the victories. I value intercession. I value prayer. You can do tremendous battle for the Lord on your knees in a prayer closet.
Amen.
Okay. I think it was Finney or someone, I don't remember who it was, before they'd go into a town to minister, they would send out prayer warriors first to intercede and to pray, walk the land. And he said, those are the ones that I wonder what their heavenly reward is. I'm sure their stature is tremendously high, and Finney was on the platform preaching, but had been saturated with prayers and intercessions and worships and fastings before he even got there on the scene. It means something, okay? It's an important ministry that the Lord has for us. I'm going to end with this, and I talked some about worship. Let me just say this. When I worship, because it also incense before the Lord, and I spoke some about this before. When I worship, I'm declaring who God is. My intercessions are decreeing and declaring what His purpose is in a situation, okay? But it's important that when I worship, I'm saying, Lord, this is who You are. You are this. You are that. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. What happens in a setting like that? I love worship because it builds what? It builds relational dealing with the Lord. I've told you some before. They have the five love languages. And mine, for my wife, is words of affirmation. And so I like to get that. I like it. So, thank you. I feel loved now. And so when we have that in our life, how much more the Father? And what happens is when I go and I declare, Lord, You are this. You're holy. You're beautiful. Lord, I give thanks for who You are. I give thanks for what You've done. A relationship is built in that. Okay? And we spoke before. I'm ending on this. When I pray, when I intercede, when I'm in a meeting, when I'm driving in a car, when I'm at home, and the Lord drops something in my spirit, in my heart, there needs to be relationship there, or else it's just dry, dead, and empty. Okay?
Amen.
The Lord is not he's not a glorified Santa Claus. And if I turn the key the right way, he does what I want him to do. Get this from me. He's relational.
Amen.
And it means a lot. I've shared this story. I'm closing with this story. My father, he was a manager. He ran the Coeco, an office supply. He ran the store in my hometown for many years. And I was a little snot-nosed kid who would go in there. Because my dad ran the ship. He ran the store. I went in and just do what I wanted to. I'd go mess with people's desks. Maybe I shouldn't have. I'd run in the back. I'd do whatever I wanted to do. But I had liberty and I had reign there. Why? Because my relationship with the guy who ran the place. If I was just any 10-year-old kid, I could have gotten away with that. That's an imperfect analogy, but it's an analogy nonetheless. I have authority to speak in someone's life. I have an authority to speak into a situation. I have authority over the demonic realm and things like that.
Amen.
When I operate, when I move, because I'm with my father every day. He runs the store. He's given me liberty and access. I can go into his office anytime I want. I can move the thing around here. I can take food in here and eat. I can do whatever I want to do because there's a relationship that I have. Okay? Authority in the Spirit. It's not just, hey, I've got a principle. Principles are good, but principles are powerful and effective when there's relationship behind it.
Amen.
And I can move and I can operate. I know my Father. My Father knows me. I'm one of His well-beloved. I've been with Him this time. He's been talking to me throughout the day. He woke me up with a song this morning. He spoke to me on the way to work and told me this person's going to be here. I have relationship. I have authority to speak into this situation. Prayer, worship, and intercession. The golden altar of incense was right before the veil. Right before. It was the last thing that was there. I need to go to your old home one day, Bill. Just being a 24/7 prayer meeting sometime. And worship meeting. And let me say this too. If that seems intimidating to you, evening, morning, noon, I'm not talking about getting on your knees for 5 hours. Okay, if it's 5 minutes, then it's 5 minutes. It's building a habit of it. But let me say this. This is another imperfect analogy, but it's an analogy. I have a laptop for work. And the more I plug in that laptop, the longer I have it, the quicker it drains and the more I have to keep plugging it in. Okay. It's easy to pray. It's easy to worship. It's easy to do that. The more you do it, because it's almost like a battery. I need to keep plugging it in. If it gets to the point where I'm not doing it because I have to, I do it because, man, I have to do it. I have to pray. I have to get alone. I have to do that. The more you do it, if you start with 5 minutes in the morning, Lord, here I am. I love you. Is there a situation in my life that you want to deal with? Is there a situation in the life of my coworker that's been on my heart? Just take 5 minutes. And you do that, and it becomes 10. It becomes more. And it's like anything. The more you do it, the more you want to. The Lord, in John 4, says, the Lord seeks those who worship such as this. The Lord is seeking for worshipers. He's seeking for people. Whether your calling is to be an intercessor or not, He's seeking for those who will intercede. There's an Old Testament passage, and I think it's in Isaiah. It says, and He marveled that there was no intercessor among them. Christ is our intercessor before the Father, but He's asked us to partner with Him, to intercede. And He says, man, there's something going on in this new job you've got. I'm going to speak to James because I have a relationship with James. There's a deposit in James, and I want to partner with him. I'm going to speak to him. He's going to speak into that situation. He's going to be in his prayer closet. He's going to be praying into that situation. He's going to quietly hear, and then he's going to verbally, loudly speak. You have to have both. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord seeks intercessors. He seeks worshipers. He seeks prayers in the earth. So the message of the golden altar of incense. Lord, I thank you for what you've done this morning, Lord, for Lord, we celebrate you this morning. Lord, I celebrate the healing James experienced. Lord, I celebrate the report that he's going to get tomorrow that, hey, he is clear and confirmed, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Earlier this morning when Kevin did that, those of them who stand, Lord, that their bodies are healed, made healthy, whole, and well. Same for Ellie, Lord. Same for Bob. Everyone who shared anything in here. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, Lord, what you're doing in us. Lord, I thank you for what you've deposited in us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, there's gifts of intercession in here, Lord, that haven't been stirred in some people here. And Lord, there is some that has been stirred. I ask that you just stir it up even more, Lord. Lord, continue to convict my heart, Lord, to pray your word, to pray in your spirit, Father. Pray in the spirit each and every day. Lord, I ask that you stir up the gifts of worship, Lord, the gifts of intercession, Lord. It's a calling, Lord. Lord, the gift of prayer, Lord, to hear, Lord. I ask that you open our ears in a new measure, in a new way. Lord, that you open our eyes, that we can see what you're doing and we can do what we see you doing in the earth, Father. Lord, that you give us fresh vision in our eyes, Lord. Lord, that you clog up anything in our ears and that we're clear conduits, clear vessels, Lord, for your glory and your purpose in the earth. And so we magnify you, we honor you, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you guys. Thank you for